to escort Mr. Ford and the president into the chamber. The president is not scheduled to say anything, only to be witness to the swearing in of his new vice president. This is the first time that a vice presidential vacancy has been filled under the new constitutional arrangements carried forth in the 25th Amendment. This is the 17th vice presidential vacancy, however. Richard Nixon is our 37th president, Ford our 40th vice president, and the difference in numbers is due to the fact that Franklin Roosevelt had three vice presidents. There's Speaker Carl Albert, and on his left is the president pro tem of the Senate, James Eastland of Mississippi. Mr. Eastland is, in effect, the acting vice president, because as president of the Senate pro tem, he assumes vice presidential duties until there is a new vice president sworn in. The Constitution gives virtually no power at all to the vice president. There's Mrs. Nixon in the family gallery. The Ford family is also there. Mrs. Ford will be in the well of the house. Now, this Secret Service and members of the House and Senate, President Nixon, with Mr. Ford on his left, preceded by the two sergeants of arms of House and Senate, followed by Tip O'Neill, the majority leader of the House, with lots of Secret Service agents, front, aft, flanking, preceding, following. Of course, admission here was by pass or ticket only. Following the vote, they needed about an hour for the various security agencies to clear the Capitol and do their debugging and de-sweeping and for the cameras to get ready for the ceremony. It's but 50 or 100 feet from the Statuary Hall to the House Chamber, and Mr. Nixon and Mr. Ford will be appearing at the bottom center of your screen in a moment. Opposition to Mr. Ford today in the House came mainly from California, New York, Massachusetts. All but one of the black members of the House voted against Mr. Ford.
Mr. Speaker,
this is Bill Miller.
The President of the United States and the Vice President designate of the United States.
With Mr. Ford is Ken Harding. He's the sergeant at arms of the House. And there is Chief Justice of the United States, Warren Burger, in his judicial robe, and Mrs. Ford.
There's the vote.
Nothing like the feeling that the Congress has for one of its own when it when he or she moves up. There's the Ford family. About 100, 150 friends and relatives from Michigan, most of them from Grand Rapids, came into Washington the last night and have been on the Hill all day, some of them listening to the debate.
The Senate, by a vote of 92 yeas to 3 nays on November 27, 1973, having confirmed the nomination of Gerald R. Ford of the state of Michigan to be Vice President of the United States, and the House of Representatives by a vote of 387 yeas to 35 nays, on today having confirmed the nomination of Gerald R. Ford of the state of Michigan to be Vice President of the United States, the proceedings required by Section 2 of the 25th Amendment to the United States Constitution have been complied with. The gentleman from Michigan, Mr. Gerald R. Ford, has advised the chair that he has transmitted his letter of resignation as a representative of the 5th District of the State of Michigan to the governor and the secretary of the State of Michigan as required by the law of that state. The chair now requests the Chief Justice of the United States to administer the oath of office to the Vice President.
Will you raise your right hand, Mr. Ford, and place your hand on the Bible, and repeat after me. I, Gerald R. Ford, do solemnly swear.
I, Gerald R. Ford, do solemnly swear.
That I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States.
That I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States.
Against all enemies, foreign and domestic.
Against all enemies, foreign and domestic.
That I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same.
That I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same.
That I take this obligation freely.
That I take this obligation freely.
Without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion.
Without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion.
And that I will well and faithfully discharge.
That I will well and faithfully discharge.
The duties of the office.
The duties of the office.
On which I am about to enter.
Of the office on which I'm about to enter.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Mr. President, members of the Congress, and distinguished guests, I have the high personal honor of presenting to you a dear friend and former colleague whom we shall all miss, but whom we all congratulate, the Vice President of the United States.
Mr. President, Mr. Speaker, Mr. Chief Justice, Mr. President pro tempore, distinguished guests, and friends. Together, we have made history here today. For the first time, we have carried out the commands of the 25th Amendment. In exactly 8 weeks, we have demonstrated to the world that our great republic stands solid, stands strong upon the bedrock of the Constitution. I'm a Ford, not a Lincoln. My addresses will never be as eloquent as Mr. Lincoln's. But I will do my very best to equal his brevity and his plain speaking. I'm deeply grateful to you, Mr. President, for the trust and the confidence your nomination implied. As I have throughout my public service under six administrations, I will try to set a high example of respect for the crushing and lonely burdens which the nation lays upon the President of the United States. Mr. President, you have my support and my loyalty. To the Congress assembled, my former colleagues who have elected me on behalf of our fellow countrymen, I express my heartfelt thanks. As a man of the Congress, let me reaffirm my conviction that the collective wisdom of our two great legislative bodies, while not infallible, will in the end serve the people faithfully and very, very well. I will not forget the people of Michigan who sent me to this chamber, or the friends that I have found here. Mr. Speaker, I understand that the United States Senate intends in a very few minutes to bind me by its rules. For their presiding officer, this amounts practically to a vow of silence. Mr. Speaker, you know how difficult this is going to be for me. Before I go from this house, which has been my home for a quarter century, I must say I am forever in its debt. And particularly, Mr. Speaker, thank you for your friendship, which I certainly am not leaving. To you, Mr. Speaker, and to all of my friends here, however you voted an hour ago, I say a very fond goodbye. May God bless the House of Representatives and guide all of you in the days ahead. Mr. Chief Justice, may I thank you personally for administering the oath. And thank each of the honorable justices for honoring me with your attendance. I pledge to you, as I did the day I was first admitted to the bar, my dedication to the rule of law and equal justice for all Americans. For standing by my side, as she always has, there are no words to tell you, my dear wife and mother of our four wonderful children, how much their being here means to me. As I look into the faces that fill this familiar room, and as I imagine those faces in other rooms across the land, I do not see members of the legislative branch, or the executive branch, or the judicial branch, though I am very much aware of the importance of keeping the separate but co-equal branches of our federal government in balance. I do not see senators or representatives, nor do I see Republicans or Democrats. Vital as the two-party system is to sustain freedom and responsible government. At this moment of visible and living unity, I see only Americans. I see Americans who love their country. Americans who work and sacrifice for their country and their children. I see Americans who pray without ceasing for peace among all nations and for harmony at home. I see new generations of concerned and courageous Americans, but the same kind of Americans, the children and grandchildren of those Americans who met the challenge of December 7th just 32 years ago. Mr. Speaker, I like what I see. Mr. Speaker, I am not discouraged. I am indeed humbled to be the 40th Vice President of the United States. But I am proud, very proud, to be one of 200 million Americans. I promise my fellow citizens only this: to uphold the Constitution, to do what is right as God gives me to see the right, and within the limited powers and duties of the Vice Presidency, to do the very best that I can for America. I will do these things with all the strength and good sense that I have, and with your help and through your prayers. Thank you.
Mr. Ford promised that it would be a short speech, and it was. He said he was a Ford, not a Lincoln, and while he couldn't match Abraham Lincoln's eloquence, he would try to speak plainly. Mr. Nixon is now shaking the hand of his new vice president. Together they will go out of the House chamber, and then Mr. Ford breaks off and returns with the Senate to his new assignment, which is to preside over the Senate of the United States. And there will be in the Senate chamber a brief ceremony, and Mr. Ford will speak to the senators that he will preside over now for the next 3 years. Really, that is about the limit of a vice president's constitutional duties: to preside over the Senate, to vote in case of a tie, and to open the ballots of the presidential electors. Of course, his office has been expanded much beyond that, but that is all that's given to him under the Constitution. John Adams, one of our first vice presidents, said, "I am nothing, but I may become everything." And there's Carl Albert, the Speaker, shaking the hand of his departing friend. There were one or two moments during Mr. Ford's speech when he almost lost control of his voice, particularly when he was thanking his wife and his family for standing by him. And there was that moment that comes frequently in public life during the oath-taking, when Mr. Ford momentarily lost track of the oath and couldn't quite remember. And if you saw Mrs. Ford's face, you realized that she knew it was coming too. So the vacancy has now been filled after 2 months, and Mr. Ford is the 40th Vice President of the United States. The lights are darkening in the House chamber. That ends our broadcast. This is Roger Mudd, CBS News, Washington.